brain health. The brain is multifaceted, and so are the ways to care for it. Everything we think, do, say, and feel is powered by our brains. And you have control of your own brain health and performance, which is exactly why I urge you to join us. Welcome to Brain Gains, a Holy Youth-produced podcast partnered with the Brain Health Initiative. In this series, you'll learn about your own brain and how to treat it, from teenagers and experts alike. I'm your host, Grace Johnson, a high school student and brain health scholar, excited to learn with you. Hi, listeners, and welcome back to Brain Gains. In today's episode, we are diving into the science behind cognitive stimulation, meaning the implementation of brain training that vastly improves neural function, both inside the laboratory and beyond. Today's episode on cognitive stimulation will focus on brain engagement inside the lab, while we'll look into cognitive stimulation beyond the lab in the next episode. Here with us to delve in further is renowned neuroscientist, author, professor and researcher at UC San Francisco School of Medicine, co-founder and chief scientific officer of Posit Science, and brain health pioneer, Dr. Michael Merzenich. He explains neuroplasticity as a natural function of brain development.
You know, our brain basically evolves in its powers and its abilities as a function of usage. So we're engaged in the world. We come into the world without any model of the world. We have no real refined skill or ability. Every ability that matters to us and everything we understand about the world basically is a product of the brain changing itself. So it changes itself in a way that enables it to efficiently record all of that information. So it's creating an incredibly encyclopedic record of where we've been and what we've done. But it also evolves its machinery. Its machinery is not very sophisticated when you're a baby, and it actually advances the machinery. It's as if you were born with a factory that didn't really have very sophisticated machinery and couldn't make much of value in the factory when you were born. And you actually evolve the equipment in the factory, and you make better and better and more powerful things because of the way that machinery changes by usage.
By usage. As we learn both consciously and subconsciously, our brains improve their machinery. However, certain factors serve to clog up our machinery or even break it down. Stress, unhealthy lifestyles, and merely aging can all contribute to the decreasing efficiency of our brains. However, Dr. Michael Merzenich was and is a major part of the science that gives every individual a chance to maintain the construction and improvement of our neural machinery.
Well, the brain is a work in progress, and everything that changes negatively can be reversed. So one of the experiments that I did that I think is the most important, we looked at animals that were really struggling. So an animal's really struggling, it's one that's about to die. Lived a full life. We look in its brain and we ask, well, how many things are different in the brain of this animal from an animal that's in the prime of life, fit as a fiddle as a young adult? So then we do another variation. Let's have an animal that has a really very poor early life, continuous struggle. And now it grows up, and let's compare how its brain looks in comparison to a whole series of things, physical, functional, chemical things in the brain, to an animal that's grown up with a good life, everything advantaging it. What's different? So we've looked at about 35 things, all kinds of things that relate to its functional powers. Everything's different. Everything we measure is different, and a lot different. We say, well, how many of these differences advantage the brain that's been struggling? Advantage the brain? Nothing advantages. Everything is negative, everything. And then we ask, well, how many of these things are reversible? And the answer is, everything's reversible. We can't find anything that's not reversible.
Dr. Merzenich's team found that this reversibility is linked with increased speed and accuracy of the brain.
Brains that are fast and accurate in those kind of operations are basically very healthy. And it's another way of saying that there's a kind of master switch in the brain that can flip and throw everything forward and advance it rapidly. Now, you can also flip the switch backward. Basically, you can turn the brain of an animal in the prime of life to look like the brain of an animal about to die in 3 or 4 weeks.
Brain development can work both positively and negatively, and our individual environments greatly impact which side our switches flip to, determining how our brain machinery is initially constructed.
Now, if you're lucky and your life is rich and, you know, lots of experiences and the life is sort of worry-free, everything goes well. And this machinery develops in an unbelievable way. By the time you're 20, you can do all kinds of things. But maybe you're not so lucky. And maybe your young life was full of stress and struggle and strain and fear. And basically, when you do that, the brain is hijacked. The machinery develops slowly. It's degraded in how it develops. It doesn't can't do all of the things. It hasn't had as rich experiences as the advantaged person. So now when that kid comes to school, they're not good at it. And they see what other kids are doing, and they say, I'm not very good at those things. And that adds to their stress. It adds to the way the brain is hijacked. And their brain is not very healthy, and it's not their fault. It's a tragedy in a way that we don't recognize that. The brain is plastic in such an individual. All of this is correctable. So one of my dreams is that we'll reach a time not too far into the future when we'll find every one of those individuals at a young age. And we'll say, let's put their brain on a course where they can catch up to the advantaged. And let's give everyone a real chance to succeed. And let's give everyone a healthy brain. You go to school and everyone gets a physical. Where's the mental? You know, nothing's more important to the kid to succeed than the health of their brain. But we don't even look at it. We just assume if they have a brain inside their skull, everything's fine in there. But it's not. There's variations in brain health, just like there are variations in physical health. There are brains that have been poorly exercised, just like there are bodies that have been poorly exercised. And we should acknowledge that, and we should do something about it when it's disadvantaging a kid and not giving him a real chance.
Dr. Merzenich's dream to give each disadvantaged child a real chance is actually not so far from fruition. Dr. Jackie Gamino, a cognitive neuroscientist and assistant research professor at the University of Texas at Dallas, is the director of the Center for Brain Health's Adolescent Reasoning Initiative, which is turning Dr. Merzenich's dream into a reality.
Well, reasoning in particular is something that we need as adults. It's a higher level executive function, and it really consists of things like problem solving, being able to take different perspectives, being able to see the world through other people's eyes, being able to have empathy. I mean, it's just a whole spectrum of well-being, which is crucial to successful adult life. If you think about it, people use problem solving all the time. Children use problem solving as well. But as your brain develops in the adolescent years, it's so important to be able to practice these skills because you're creating connections that potentially can be there for a lifetime. And they're just going to make your brain that much stronger. The frontal lobe is the last area of the brain to develop. And this is the area where much of the reasoning connections take place, the reasoning, the higher order thinking. And so whatever we can do during the adolescent years to build and strengthen those skills is going to mean success in a lifetime, which is, you know, pretty exciting to think about that you have that control.
Absolutely. And kind of building off of what you're talking about, one of the studies that you've worked on really caught my eye from 2014, titled Enhancing Inferential Abilities in Adolescents, New Hope for Students in Poverty. So the results of that study showed that older middle schoolers showed improvement in their inferential abilities after cognitive training, regardless of their socioeconomic status, which is super cool. Can you explain what that cognitive training really was, like what encompassed and sure. Why this is so exciting?
Sure. It's a cognitive training that I helped develop. It's called Strategic Memory Advanced Reasoning Training, or SMART for short. And it consists of step-by-step explaining to students about their cognition and how the brain functions. Obviously, on a student level, it's not heavy-duty neuroscientific textbook, but it's very step-by-step because executive function is so important to human development. And basic executive function is things like being able to inhibit or selectively focus on things, being able to to synthesize and understand how to put ideas together. And then at the higher level, that inferential level, again, that involves reasoning and problem solving. And that's the executive function that really helps you with the ability to connect things that you already know or that you're aware of with new ideas. And so that's where the innovation takes place and the creativity. And so building these skills in adolescence, again, because the brain is so plastic, always, but very plastic during development, that you're building skills that can potentially last a lifetime.
So how does socioeconomic status normally affect the development of inferential abilities?
That's a great question. Inferencing, for many kids, they just think, well, that's something my teacher wants me to do in English class. Socioeconomics can play a role in that, especially in younger children. Younger children who are deprived of really healthy adult interactions and healthy foods, the right kind of exercise, things that typically developing higher socioeconomic kiddos have every day, they're not building those basic stepping stones as younger children. There has been some research that has shown that children who are born in poverty, often their brains do not develop at the rate of children who are from wealthier families. And so that's a great concern, obviously, because we want these children to be able to succeed in life just as the rest of us do. And what we wanted to know was, if you have that deficit in the beginning, can we help train the brain so that you can gain those skills later on? And our evidence shows that we can help kids develop those skills, which are so important for them to be able to be successful, not only academically, but also just in their jobs in the future, to be able to have those skills that help them problem solve, that help them communicate with other people. And so the exciting thing to me is that it's never too late. You can always change and improve your brain.
Most struggles that a person has in life when they progress to a mental illness or addiction, most of those struggles are contributed in some way, usually not understood, often not understood, by the life history of that individual. And they're all overcomable. Everything is reversible. No one is ever permanently in a hole.
What's so amazing about the Adolescent Reasoning Initiative is that they aren't just sitting idly by after conducting such remarkable research. They are going into schools and helping to implement this training themselves.
One of the studies that I am in the process of wrapping, and we've been working on it for several years, is our teacher training program. So we began by doing the SMART program first with kids with ADHD, and we saw this remarkable growth in a very short amount of time. And it was very exciting to us. And we actually were able to bring a few of them back, not many, but a few of them, these students back a year later, and retest them to see whether or not they had gone back to where they started, or if they were at least at the same level as when they finished the training, or had they even gotten better. With development, you would assume that people will continue to improve the reasoning and higher order thinking skills. And that's what we found, is that almost every student who was able to come back and test at 6 months and then again at a year, we saw that their thinking was either at the same level as right after they finished the training or was continuing to improve. That's a really exciting aspect of the program. But we began training teachers so that we could reach, and my training team went into the classroom and delivered the SMART program with classrooms full of children. And then we decided to train teachers so we could reach more and more students. So right now, we train teachers in the summertime who then implement the program in their classrooms. And a lot of times teachers go through professional developments and they're handed a book or something, and it's sort of like, good luck, we hope this goes well. But they don't receive any support. And so many times programs don't get a lot of fidelity and they don't necessarily get used the way they're meant to. So we wanted to be able to counteract that potential problem by supporting the teachers in the classroom. So we actually go in and we support them when they're implementing to help maintain the fidelity of the program. And it's been very successful. If teachers implemented with fidelity, and not all of them did, of course, but most did, if they implemented with fidelity, that their students showed improvement, not only immediately in the reasoning ability, but also in their longer-term standardized test scores.
Cognitive training supports the physical, biological needs of your brain. Dr. Merzenich's research shows that with cognitive training, you produce more capillaries in the brain, causing an increase in blood flow that then delivers more of the nutrients and oxygen your brain needs to thrive. The greater availability of these resources allows your brain to work with heightened power. You're also improving the immune response in the brain, enhancing its ability to separate blood from fluid in the brain tissue, that, if combined, would clog your mental machinery and slow down brain function. With his research, Dr. Merzenich became the mind behind BrainHQ, a cognitive training platform that he likes to think of as the brain gym.
Rather than thinking about improving brain performance by thinking about it behaviorally, its goal is to improve brain performance by thinking about the brain as a physical machine, that improving its, you could say, neurological assets that support behavior. So the instinct from the beginning of time, Grace, has been to think about behavioral weakness in terms of the sort of surface behavior that's expressed that you're not good at. So they say, I can't remember very well. The psychologist, a natural instinct to say, well, let's practice remembering, or let's learn tricks or strategies for better remembering. But what if you can't remember because the machinery is not recording information at high fidelity? What if it's not representing information with high accuracy? So, really, to fix the memory, you need to improve the machinery. And in order to do that, you need to practice in very different ways. You need to be engaged in very different exercises that really don't involve practicing remembering. You need to fix the machine.
Would you use BrainHQ as a form of cognitive stimulation across age groups, or do you think that one age group could benefit from it more than others?
Well, it should be cradle to grave. It isn't about brain disorders specifically. It's about brain power. You want to be smarter? It's really advantageous to have a brain that operates with higher accuracy at higher speed. To cite a simple example, you can take the most competent person you know of in the universe. Let's say, as an athlete, let's say Tom Brady. He uses BrainHQ. He says it's one of his secrets. When he was 37 years old, he began using it. He improved. He responded more accurately, more rapidly, and he found that he stopped making mistakes in calling his plays and delivering the complex sequences of instruction to the players on the team as the quarterback. He improved his performance. We've trained all kinds of people. We've trained engineers in technology. We've trained people that climb mountains and high wire, fix electrical systems and all. They have fewer accidents. We've trained policemen. We train special forces troops. We train all kinds of people that are highly skilled and they get better. It's really about engaging your brain to get the most out of it. What matters to you? You know, Grace, what's most important to you? Why not think about actually improving your performance of those things?
Dr. Merzenich shared yet another fascinating discovery to which he contributed, showing just how impactful regular trips to the brain gym can be.
He compared what the advantage were to a professional soccer player if they train on BrainHQ and improve their processing speed, just working on a computer, or they train to improve their fast responding in physical exercise. So now we're going to translate that into their accurate fast responding on the field. It turns out that there's a small advantage to training on the computer over actually training, moving at all, using your body. You'll say, well, how the hell could that be? How could you work on a computer and you're better at playing a complex thing like soccer and making fast, accurate decisions? It's because the limitations of your performance were in the brain. They weren't in the physical body.
Wow.
They were in the brain. And in a lot of things we do, the limitations that we have are in the brain. And because we haven't exercised it, we spend all of the time in the damn physical gym and not enough time in the brain gym, we're not as strong as we could be.
If you want to hear more about cognitive stimulation outside the laboratory, tune into the next episode. Thank you so much to Drs. Michael Merzenich and Jackie Gamino for joining me on this episode and the next. this podcast is possible in part thanks to the Brain Health Initiative, a study working to build a brain-healthy Florida Sun Coast and beyond, featuring collaborative leadership from the Academy for Brain Health and Performance, as well as Massachusetts General Hospital, a Harvard Medical School teaching hospital. Please visit brainhealthinitiative.org if you are interested in learning more about the Brain Health Initiative or its academic youth program, the Brain Health Scholars. Thank you so much for tuning in today and listening to Brain Gains, hosted and produced by Grace Johnson.